Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So if we can go, let's go to, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 18. It's good. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 18. Hallelujah. You know what the cool thing is? What God is really doing on the inside of us? He's bringing us to a place. Just so you see the destination, it's good to see the destination, right? The destination, right, that God wants for us is for us to be able to be people that hear Him easily. That hear Him easily, right? Right? It's a really cool thing. I was passing by. I just love taking walks. I was passing by, and this is normally the time of year, and I have no idea why, but this is normally the time of year where people start putting out their sheep. You don't see them a lot during other times of the year. I don't know where the sheep are. I was thinking about that. I don't know where the sheep are when they're not there. But the point is, though, they bring out the pens and you see all the sheep there. And it's really cool to see sheep, right? And I'm not trying to show you a physical analogy so you can understand a spiritual truth, right? I'm going to show you a spiritual truth, and that just kind of echoes a little bit, that spiritual truth. But what I see is when you go by sheep, sheep will look at you, right? But they won't come to you because they don't know who you are, right? They don't know you. You're not their shepherd. So I just love that. There's so many animals, right, that are needy animals that if they see you, they look up, they come to you, right? Horses will do that a lot of times. Horses, you know, I pass by a lot of times where on my walks again and I see horses and they'll come to you. Cows will come to you. I mean, if you ever go by a whole bunch of cows, right, when it's really kind of getting dusk, right, and you go by them, and I'm not a farmer, so I don't know, but they're ready to eat. So they see an individual, they don't care who it is. They just want somebody to open up the gate so that they can go eat, right? So they all just congregate all close to you, right? But sheep are interesting, though. Sheep, you know, I've stood there and I talk to them and I say stuff to them, just trying to get a reaction out of them, and they just go like this. And they just go right to eating, right? Because they don't care about me. And isn't it awesome that that's how the Lord is teaching us to be people that aren't moved and don't hear the voice of a stranger, but the voice of our shepherd. Notice what that is, right? It's the voice of our shepherd. It's not talking about what our shepherd wrote to us. It's the voice of our shepherd, right? You can hear the voice of God. That's why the Bible says that you are His sheep and you know His voice. If you know His voice, it's because there is a voice to be known and there is a voice to be heard, right? And I'm going to actually show you that here. But in verse number 18, speaking of the voice of God, right? The voice of God or the Word of God. The Word of God is the voice of God. The Word of God is the Word of God on the inside of you, right? So he says in verse number 18, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 18, For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire. So that was Mount Sinai, right? Where the commandments were given. Moses went up on that mountain, and God says, even if an animal touches that mountain, you stone him to death, right? So they could not come near that mountain. God was off limits to people, off limits to them. They were not to approach him. They were not to come to him, right? Only Moses was to come up, and God through Moses would give commandments to them, right? Right? Very standoffish, right? But look at what happens, because it's a little different. It says, for you have not come to the mountain which may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. That's really important, because that's what the Lord showed me, right? He just brought that to my mind. He said voice of words, right? So I began to look and say, okay, Lord, what is that? What is voice of words, right? And here's what it is. It says, and the voice of words, so that those who heard the voice of words begged that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Right? So in other words, there was a word that was spoken to the people of Israel that they begged. They didn't ask. Right? They were begging, please don't talk to us anymore. Don't talk to us anymore. Now, an interesting thing to understand here is, and I can find the verse for you after service if you want to find it, or you can find it on your own, but the Bible says that the commandments of God came through the voice of angels, right? It wasn't God speaking to them directly, it was God speaking through the voice of an angel, right? Through the voice of angels. And it says that, you know, if the voice of angels in the giving of the law proves steadfast and true, how much more then? How much more? I think that's like Hebrews chapter 9 maybe. But how much more than God when God speaks to us from heaven, and not sure if we'll get to that, but so he says here that the voice of words, the words that they heard were so that they begged that the words would not be spoken to them anymore. And here's what happens. It says, for they could not endure. You see what was happening? They could not endure what was commanded. It's not that God was speaking so loud that he was scaring them. It's not that his voice was so strong that it sounded like thunder, and because it sounded like thunder, they felt like they wanted to run. It's that they couldn't endure what was being commanded. You understand what that is? They couldn't, in other words, the law ministers, and that's why it's called the ministry of, the law ministers condemnation. That's why it's called the ministry of condemnation. They were hearing the commandments here, and they asked, please stop, right? We don't want to hear. We can't endure what is commanded. In other words, what happened? When they began to hear the commandments, what happened? What happened to Paul in Romans chapter 7? When he heard the commandment, thou shalt not covet. Did he like fall in love with that commandment? Even though it is good and it is perfect? He didn't. What happened? He heard the commandment and he died. Why? Because the commandment heard makes you realize that you're a covetous man. When somebody tells you thou shalt not covet, right? Then what happens? It is a remembrance. It causes a remembrance of sin, which makes you conscious of sin, which says to you, I'm a covetous man. Right? If you live by thou shalt honor thy father and mother, you will notice that there are times that you don't honor your father and mother and haven't honored your father and mother. Therefore, you are condemned for not honoring your father and your mother. There is no man that has ever been able to keep the commandments. There has been no man that has been able to do that. God didn't give the commandments so that people would keep them. God gave the commandments so that sin would become exceedingly sinful, right? The Bible says, and God teaches, right? So the command came so that sin would become exceedingly sinful, and therefore people will see that they needed a what? A savior. Who will deliver this wretched man? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? All that he's saying is, oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me? And then he says, thanks be to God in Jesus Christ. Why does it say that? Thanks be to God in Jesus Christ, because God sent him. Right? Thanks be to God that God was in Christ reconciling us to him. And there's some cool stuff that he did. It's just good, but we'll keep going. So they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Right? And so terrifying was the sight that Moses himself that walked and talked with God and loved God, right, and had faith in God, Moses himself said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling, right? So it wasn't just how it was being said. It's what they cannot endure. They could not endure the commandment over and over again. The commandments of God coming to them. And people, there were times where they would gather together. And the men of God would come and would read the law. And men and children, they didn't even have any chairs and they didn't even sit down. They stood up, the whole family just standing up, the little kids just standing next to them. And the law being read, and they would just weep. They would just weep. Why? Because men are not able to keep it. Men are not able to keep it. And all that it does is, again, it condemns. It's called the ministry of condemnation, because when a man is condemned, and the Bible says that all the world, God did it so that all the world would be condemned under sin. In other words, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All men. All men fall short of the glory of God. How did that happen? God sent the law to show that every man falls short of the glory of God, right? Every man did that, but thanks be to God that there is a Savior. So today, we don't have to teach the law. Because today we teach Jesus, right? We teach Jesus what he did, right? What he did to save us from the wretchedness, right? And bring us to himself. So look at what happens. So he says in verse number 21, and so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling, but you have come. Look at now. At first it said, you have not come to that place that I just described. All of that I just talked about, the Bible says that the church has not come there. That's not where we've come to. Watch where you've come. But it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. Not to Mount Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion, right? You have come to Mount Zion and to the city. It says to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, right? You ever heard the heavenly Jerusalem being mentioned in the book of Revelation, right? That's where you have come. That's where you have ascended to, right? You're not going there, right? The heavenly Jerusalem is not a place that God's going to make for us and we're going to enter into it. You are the heavenly Jerusalem, right? You are the church. You are Zion, right? The church is, in other words, when the city is seen coming down, what the prophet saw when he looked up, what John saw was he saw the bride of Christ, right? Illuminated in all the glory of her father, right? Illuminated in all the glory of God. Why? Because that's what the church shows, right? The church shows forth the glory of God, not her own glory. I'll tell you, he sees you holy, blameless, without a single fault in his sight. That's how he sees you. Holy and blameless without a single fault. You say, well, Lord, how could you, if you know everything, how could you see me without a single fault when I do things that are wrong? Right? Because he dealt with that. He didn't leave it undone. He didn't leave your sin. See, that's why the church is confused. Do I have to ask God to forgive me of my sins, or do I have to remember? Do I have to confess everything? I mean, where am I? Am I forgiven or am I not forgiven? You know, it's either it happened at the cross or it didn't. It's not perpetually. That's Hebrews chapter 9, right? Jesus Christ is not perpetually dying on the cross. Right? He did it once for all time. Once for all time. In other words, it says into the first part, right, of the temple, the priests went daily. But into the holiest of all, they went only once a year. But even that once a year was a constant reminder of the people of their sin. Because their sin was not erased, right? Their sin, they had a constant reminder of their sin. So what does that mean? They were conscious of their sin. But what Jesus did is he came once for all and he washed. He washed her. He cleaned you, right? He washed you by the blood, right? By the blood of sprinkling, it says, and we're actually getting there. So look at what it says. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, verse number 22, and to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? He is, right? The firstborn among many brethren, right? He says, to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, right? Registered, right? Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, right? Right? Registered in heaven. To God, the judge of all. To the spirits of just men made what? Perfect. How does God see you? Your spirit made perfect. You say, well, I'm not perfect on the outside. He ain't talking about your outside. He's talking about your spirit, right? He's talking about your spirit. He says, well, but what about the outside? He's freed you from that, right? That's why you are called the circumcision. He freed you from your flesh. So that because now you live in the spirit, he says, therefore walk by the spirit now. And so we're left without excuse, right? There's nothing that ties a believer to say he has to do, right, what the flesh craves. There's nothing, no such thing. Every single believer is free. Why? Because he said, whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Whether you feel free or not, you're free. So it is good. It is good to learn, right? It's good to learn who you are in Christ, what you have in Jesus, right? And what he's done for you. All of those things are awesome things to learn and to understand. So it says in verse number 24, that we've also come, which is an awesome thing, right? That we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. That speaks better things. So in other words, he's correlating the speaking better things than that of Abel, right? He's correlating that to the voice of words that they said they could not endure what was being commanded. But here, you know, there's a huge difference, right? The gospel is called the good what? The good news. Why is it called the good news? Because it is, you can endure what's being heard. Now you say, well, I've heard preachers before and I can't endure what's being heard. I feel guilty when I'm listening to them, right? Well, that must not be the good news then, because the gospel does not condemn, right? The gospel never condemns. The gospel is to show you who you are and what you have in Jesus, right? And after you can see what you have and what you possess, so that you can become a partaker, so that you can come, so that you can, I mean, look at what he has said. The Lord is showing us this morning, right? Where you have come, not where you're going, where you have ascended to. We have ascended actually in the new, let me see where it says in verse number 22. Can we switch to King James real quick? Verse number 22. That where it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, right? When you read that, right, and if you look at a literal translation or the literal meaning of that word, you know what you'll find? That it says that you have ascended. How have you ascended if you're still here? Right? How have you ascended? Because Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 across the same line, right? Where he said, I am leaving them here, but because I am not of this world, they are not either. So you may be in this world, but you're not of it. And if you ever try to find that verse, in this world but not of it, you'll never find it. Because that verse is not in the Bible, right? But the, where that concept of that verse is taken from is from John 17. Because he says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world, right? So it's a cool thing for you to know. Jesus didn't say that he has made us like he was when he walked the earth. He said he has made us as he is. The Bible says, as he is, present tense, right? As he is, so are we in this world. What did he do? Make you like himself. Right? The Bible says that we are seated with him in heavenly places. How are we seated with him if we're still here? How have we ascended if we're still here? Right? How? Right? Because we are one with him. And we have all that he has. Right? All that he has, we have. So that's where you have come. So you have left the kingdom of darkness, and you have been received into the kingdom of, the Bible says, of his dear son. What is that kingdom like? That kingdom is like, well, what is the kingdom like? That kingdom is like, it says, like an innumerable company of angels. It says like a general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all. You have come to the judge. How can you come to the judge? Because the judge already acquitted you, right? The judge already said innocent and not guilty. Why? Because there was already one condemned for you. See, people when they hear about the grace of God, they think, oh, you're just giving people a license to sin. No, we're not giving people a license to sin. We're giving people a license not to be sin conscious, right? Because the world is all about it. If you can learn from your mistakes and be conscious of your sin. The ridiculous thing that the world doesn't understand is that the more conscious you are of sin, the more you will sin. Why? Because that's what you're conscious of. That's what your mind is always thinking about. Right? So what was Pastor Mike just talking about before, right? If you do dumb things, it's because you're thinking dumb things. So if he renews our minds so we don't think dumb things, we won't do dumb things. But if you make me conscious of all the dumb things I do, I'm going to do more dumb things. Right? So we don't want to be conscious of dumb things. Right? We want to be conscious of where we have come and who we are. Whether or not we see that outwardly portrayed or manifested is not the point, right? We're not chasing after a manifestation of God. Right? We're receiving from the Christ that we have. We're not chasing after a manifestation. We're not looking for a church that can show me somebody that's risen from the dead, right? All of those things are effects of the life of God on the inside of us, right? Right? All of the church would be manifesting miracles and signs and wonders of God, right? But the point is not to get people chasing after those things. You know, I'm going to tell you something. It's really interesting. What the Lord has been doing throughout the years, right? He gets us to a point where he teaches us that you don't receive from men. Almost to the point of excess to get you, you know what, not to look at men at all. And then he begins to tell us, right, how good it is to be at church. So you know what, it confuses, you can be confused, right? Like, you know, which one is it? Either am I not receiving from men at all, or do I have to come to church to receive from a man? But here's the thing, right? That if you can learn whether you are away or here to receive only from God and to be encouraged that way, then it doesn't matter, right? But it's so many times God has to take us so far right, so we can only look to him and stop looking at man, so that then we can receive from God through someone. So you can receive from God, because listen, Paul said this: even if an angel speaks to you that which is not the gospel, don't even receive it, even if he looks angelic, right? I don't know how many of you have had an angel appear to you, but if you had an angel appear to you in all of his glory, right, that would be pretty impressive, right? But you cannot be impressed by your eyes, right? Because if you are impressed by your eyes, a demon dressed as an angel of light will come to you, and you'll believe it hook, line, and sinker, right? Why? Because you're being programmed to go by your eyes. But if we can be those that hear the voice of God It don't matter if you're dressed up like a bum on the street or if you look like an angel, but if you sound like my shepherd, I can hear you, right? I can hear the Lord. I don't care whether you got a Rolex on or whether you got a citizen that's broken down. It really doesn't matter what you're wearing or who you are. If I can hear the voice of my shepherd coming through your face, I'm going to believe it, right? Why? Because it's the voice that I know. It's the voice that I know. I could be down and hear my five-year-old son. I don't have one. I'm just using it as an illustration, right? I'm not going to have one either. But, right, I could hear my son encouraging me. A five-year-old could say something to you, right, that the Lord could use that boy to speak something to you, and you should be in the position to receive that. Not, well, oh, he's just a child. What do they know, right? Because it doesn't matter, right? Listen. Balaam was spoken through a donkey, right? Right? The voice came through a donkey, right? If the voice can come through a donkey, the voice can come through a child, right? The voice can come through your wife. The voice can come through a friend. The voice can come through your parents. The voice could come, believe it or not, even through your in-laws, right? The voice of God can come, right? And you can receive that. You can receive that. It's just good. It's good to know. Good to know. So he says, That's where you've come. You've come to the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. You know why that, what that helps you in? I won't belabor the point there too much, but it's cool to know that you've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Because I am perfect in my spirit, but I have to recognize that you are too, right? And if I don't recognize that you are perfect in your spirit also, I'm going to treat you according to the flesh. And the Bible says not to regard men according to their flesh, right? How do you not regard men according to the flesh? Understand that they are perfect inside just like you are, right? So you don't regard them and treat them like they're a nobody. You treat them and you understand, you speak to a brother in Christ just like that, like they're a brother in Christ, because they are. Not just by title, right, but by spirit, they are. They have the same spirit you do. Sometimes they have to be, we have to encourage one another, right? And listen, that's where we're going to go. Let me show you something in Hebrews chapter 5. You know, there was something that the Lord was speaking to me, and I didn't really understand the correlation of both, but we got there, right? So in he was showing me about the word of righteousness. And I said, well, Lord, what does the word of righteousness have to do with the voice of words, right? Well, the voice of words, right, is, in other words, what he's saying is where we've come to is to a place where we can hear a voice and that we can endure what is being spoken. The gospel can be endured. The gospel, in other words, can be received. The gospel can be received freely by people. Why? Because they know that they're being spoken to about what they have, what they've received, or what they can have if they're not saved, right? So here he was talking about the word of righteousness. So let's go to, in Hebrews, right there, just a couple pages back. And where's a good spot? 12, right? Verse number 12. And this is really cool. I don't think I have never ever heard this preached ever, but it's just so good, so good, so good. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." That's where it was, right? The word of righteousness. "For he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use or by reason of practice, right, have their senses," that's an important word, "their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So here's what that's saying, right? Right, that they're in the body of Christ, right, in the body of Christ, there are people that are still at a place where they, which is called the milk of the word of God. And what is that? That they receive through an individual being taught, it says, the oracles of God. So what is that? The oracles of God is what? Scripture. That's what oracles are. Scripture of God, right? Scripture. So that people are at a point where they're being taught Scripture. And they are hearing, right? So in other words, somebody that knows God, Pastor Mike was just talking about that a little bit ago, someone that knows God and knows Him and hears His voice, right? That is a teacher, right? That can hear His voice and say what the teacher is saying in Him, right? can give it to people who right now all that they're hearing, even though they can hear, right? There are some people that can hear and aren't hearing, and there are people that cannot hear at all because they don't even have the Spirit of God, that still can be taught the same way by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God can convict them. And it's interesting what he does, right? To an unbeliever, he convicts them, and even in our lives also, right? Of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. To an unbeliever, of sin because they don't believe in him. So that's an important thing to kind of allow the Spirit of God to teach you, right? Never, ever, ever will God ever approach you to try to fix someone's behavior, right? Someone can be corrected, but the idea is never to look at their behavior and correct that and tell them, you have to fix that behavior, right? Because that's not how the Spirit of God deals with people. Whenever sin is brought up in the new covenant that we live in, right? Whenever sin is brought up, it is only sin. Why? Jesus said, because they don't believe in me. So the other things that people do that are called sin are an effect of not believing in him. When people believe in Jesus, they don't have to try to stop doing those other things. Those other things will fall as you're cleaned, right? As you're cleaned holy once, and then your mind begins to be cleaned. Right? Renewed. Right? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? So he says, so milk is where people are sometimes, where I believe that a lot of the church is there, right? Where a lot of the church receives when they go to church. They don't hear God on their own. They I don't even know that many people are even encouraged. Actually, I've heard of many churches that discourage people from on their own learning anything, but that the only place that they can learn anything is at church, right? So that's obviously totally opposite from what God is trying to teach somebody. In other words, God is trying to bring us to a place where we can all hear from God and encourage one another, and where teachers can be born, right? Teachers can be born, people that can speak to other people. But there's also a qualification, right? Not everybody should be a teacher. Right? Why? Because in order to be a teacher, you have to be at a place where you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. How can you speak to the church when you don't hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church? Because you're not a teacher because you want to say something to the church, right? There's a lot of things sometimes that I feel like saying to the church, but that's not what he's saying to the church, right? So it's what he is saying, that's what needs to be said, right? So milk is, if you look at it this way also, I'm not defining the word milk here, but if you look at it this way, milk comes from someone else, right? Milk comes from someone else, and you drink it. Solid food, right? You put it in your own mouth. You come to Jesus and you eat, right? You come to him and you eat. So what he's saying here is, he says, let's read it. With that in mind, let's read it again, verse number 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, in other words, they had been under the word of righteousness for so long, and we'll get to their word of righteousness, we'll get there, right? They had been under the word so long, but they had not heard, they were hearing men. They were not hearing, they were not listening to God, they were not growing the way they should, because if they were, by now they would have been already teachers, right? So it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone, what is that? You need somebody else, right? Milk, right? You need someone else to, and there's no shame in being there, right? It's just, you know what, if you find that after so many years of hearing the gospel, and you know what actually puts us back a lot of times? Is that what we've been taught is wrong. So if what we're being taught is wrong, how can you grow if the very thing you're being taught is incorrect, right? If you're being taught to rely on a man, if you're being taught that the only one that can know is the preacher, if you're being taught that you have to be as holy as he is, if you're not being taught who you are and what you have, how could you ever get there? You can go to a church for 50 years and never even begin, right? Why? Just because the wrong... So obviously, it is important, right? And the Lord talks about it, especially in Ezekiel. He talks about shepherds that ought to be removed and that their mouths will be shut so they shepherd no more, right? Because that does need to happen, right? So look at what he says. So he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the scriptures, right? The first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need, it says, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk, what is that? Someone who partakes only when they're in church. Only there. That's the only place, right? It says, is unskilled in what? In the word of righteousness. Unskilled in the what? In the word of righteousness. Why didn't it say he's unskilled in the oracles of God? Why didn't it say he's unskilled in reading his Bible? Why didn't it say he's unskilled in the scriptures, right? It didn't say that. He said he's unskilled in the word of righteousness. in the word of righteousness. Why is that? Because righteousness, right, the righteousness that is of faith, the, what is called the word of righteousness, speaks in this way. Don't say, right, that's Romans chapter 10, don't say who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up. But the word of God is near you, it is in your heart, and it's in your mouth, the word of faith which we preach. So he's saying the way we preach is because his word is in me, goes up to my heart, shoots out of my mouth, right? It's in me, it's near me. Right? So being skilled in the word of righteousness is to say, Lord, I know that you're in me, and I know that I can hear you because it's been given to me to hear. Here's an example of someone unskilled in the word of righteousness, right? Jesus looks to Philip, and actually the other disciples were there, and he says, and obviously he hadn't ascended, and there were a lot of things that they did not know or did not hear. But he says to them, he says, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And they said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus just told them, you know where I'm going and you know the way. Why? Because you've been staring at the way for years, right? Right? Philip said, show us the Father and it will be sufficient. He said, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me? What is that? That's milk, right? They don't know. They don't see. They don't see for themselves. All they know is what Jesus was speaking to them, but they cannot see. So they're asking for the Father and the Father's right in front of them. Well, how is the Father in front of them? Because he said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So what is being unskilled in the word of righteousness? Is that you don't hear the word of righteousness. But what does he want us to get to? A place where the destination is what? You hear me. You hear me. Where when things are happening in your life, you can come to him. He says, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, when we were reading about that voice, the voice of words that could not be endured. You see how a direct opposite that is to what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, learn of me. He says, for I am lowly and I am gentle at heart, right? When the Lord speaks to you, he never condemns you, never. If you're being condemned by a voice in you, it's not God. It's not God, and it's not godly either, right? If you're being condemned by something that, some idea that you have in your mind, that's not God. It is never, and see, people say this, well, you know, guilt to a certain extent, I've heard this taught, right? People that believe God, that believe in Jesus Christ, right? People that are teachers that teach good stuff. I have heard them say, you know, guilt is good to a certain extent, you know, because, you know, you don't want guilt to get, listen, guilt is condemnation. If you are guilt, you are guilty. If you are guilty, you should be condemned. You understand? If we're guilty of something, we should be condemned. But if I do something and someone else paid for my guilt, that means that I'm what? Not guilty. Right? If somebody commits a crime and they are excused of that crime, I don't remember what the legal word for it is, right? The law in this country is that they can't be tried for the same thing again, right? So even though everybody around them may think that they're guilty, the judge says what? Not guilty. Right? Not guilty. The judge says you're not guilty. So even though your mama looks at you and your mama says you're guilty, if God says you're not guilty, he's the one that matters and he is the one you have come to. The judge of all is the one you have come to. The judge of all is bigger than your mama. Right? She can say you're guilty, but if God did not say you're guilty, then you are not. Right? What you may have done may be sin and may be wrong, but guilt and doing something wrong are two different things. Right? Because guilt means you have been convicted. Right? Convicted of guilt. And the Spirit does not convict you of guilt. He convicts you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. Right? Of righteousness, and this is a good place to end, right? Of righteousness because I go to the Father. Of righteousness because I go to the Father. So what happened, right? Why is it that we can endure what's being said? Because he said, it is of righteousness. Why is it that the Spirit on the inside of you is life because of righteousness? Why is it that all of these things are because of righteousness, right? What I mean, right? You have to ask yourself, why is righteousness so important? What is it with righteousness? Because righteousness is what gives you every right. Without righteousness, you have no right. You have no right to receive. You have no right to ask. You have no right to pray. You have no right to come to him. You have no right to anything. Without righteousness, you have no rights. Why? Because he says the just was condemned, crucified for the unjust. God went to the cross for all of the wretchedness of men, right? He went to the, that's why that song was born, right? Out of truth, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Right? Why is that? Because that's what he did. So he says, I'm telling you, he said to his disciples, that I'm going away. But he says, even though I'm telling you that I'm going away, sorrow has filled your heart. Sorrow has filled your heart. But he says, but it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the helper cannot come. I cannot send my spirit into you. If I don't make you righteous, you can't receive my spirit. If I don't make you righteous, you cannot receive from God. So what does he do? And you know, that's an interesting thing too, right? That whenever there's a time in your life where sorrow fills your heart, understand who you are in Christ and what he has done, and you will see how sorrow leaves you. Sorrow fills the heart of men for many things, and the majority of the time it is because of all of the time it is because of external circumstances, always. Right? How do you get sorrow out of your heart? You don't try to think about something happy. You don't go away and go to the beach in Virginia so you can feel good about yourself. That's not going to fix sorrow, right? When sorrow fills the heart of a man, only the right believing will take place of the sorrow that you're believing, right? Because sorrow has to be believed in order to be accepted, right? So you receive that, right? Because we go by what we see. Right? We don't live that way, but sometimes we go by what we see. But if you don't look at what is seen, but you look at who you are the righteousness of God, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. Why is righteousness so important? Because he ascended to the Father to make you holy and blameless without a single fault, so you could always know how he sees you, so you could receive his spirit, and the spirit on the inside of you is life to you, even to your mortal body, because of righteousness. What is that righteousness? He went to the Father, and he's there right now. Right? Seated at the right hand of the Father and his spirit on the inside of you, giving you every right to everything that he has. You know what the biblical term for that is? Making you a joint heir with Christ. Right? A joint heir. If Jesus has not received his inheritance, neither have you. Right? If he has, and he has been given all glory and all honor, and lifted up above all principality and power and dominion, and every name that is named in this earth, and in this world, and in the world to come, then you are a joint heir with somebody who has received, right? If you're a joint heir and they got it, you do too. If you're a joint heir with somebody and they haven't got it, you don't either, right? But if he has it, you have it. So that's good, 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 good to know. Good stuff to know. Good stuff to know. I think right there is an excellent part. You know, I would encourage you, if you have time, that you would take Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 is fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. If you could just read the chapter. It's very short, but it's awesome because it talks about what he did. It talks about that blood of sprinkling. It says, but you have come to Jesus and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks better things than that of Abel, right? It's an awesome thing to read. What is that blood of sprinkling? Like, how was it done? They used to take the blood of animals and sprinkle, right? The blood of sprinkling, it would sanctify. That's actually where they get that verse from 9:22. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's where that verse comes from. But what is that? It says, because everything was purified with blood. So if you touch the wrong thing, you could be purified by the blood of an animal. So it says that the blood of an animal could ceremonially make somebody clean. How much more has the blood of Jesus made you clean? How clean are you? If the blood of an animal, just by a symbol, the blood of a nasty, non-talking, non-spirit-filled animal, right, could make you clean ceremonially outwardly, right? Just an animal, a bull, a bird, right, could make you clean outwardly. How much more the innocent, spotless blood of the Lamb, how much has it made you clean? How much would you understand, I have been forgiven, my God, of my sins? Instead of thinking that you have to have a good memory to remember everything that you've done, and if you don't remember everything, you're still guilty of some of it. There's never been a single solitary human being alive who has ever remembered to confess all their sin. Because the Bible says that even what is not of faith is sin. There are things that you do that are sin that you don't even know are sin. How do you confess that? Can't, right? Right? Now confession, obviously, to know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that for you to know that you're a sin, for you to say that you're not, that you have no sin, he said that man is a liar and the truth is not in him, right? Because if you don't hear the gospel, you don't think there's anything wrong. I just do what I do because that's what I do. But if you hear the gospel and you still deny that, he says the truth is not in him. Obviously, that person has not seen the truth to think that there's no sin in them, right? Right? But if you confess your sin before God, so you know that you're a sinner that needs a Savior. Paul said, what wretched man that I am. In that phrase right there, what wretched man that I am. Do you think he believed that he was a sinner? Yes, right? What wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me? Who will save me? He did save. And Paul didn't have to confess another sin as long as he lived. Why? Because he understood what? The forgiveness of my sins. You see why the church is still very much in the milk of the word? They don't even know if they're forgiven yet. They don't even know. They're still wondering. They're still wondering if Jesus comes and he finds me in the bar at the corner, am I going to hell? Because of the very things that they ask, because of the very things that are coming out of their mouth, you know they still do not know. And what do they need? People that know that will speak. How does that happen? Hearing. Why is the Lord doing that in this church? Why is he so much, and not just in this church, but across the world, why is he doing that, teaching his people to hear? Because if you learn to hear, and you can go beyond where it says in Hebrews chapter 12, when you can go beyond the primary basic principles of the oracles of the written scripture, and you can go beyond to hearing him, God will do great things through you if you can hear him.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.